Hey there, this is Eric with Tourism Marketing Mastery. Good to have you back onto the show. And this week, I want to share with you the 7 secret spots that we find our clients. So let me share with you where this came from. I was having a conversation with a client of mine. He operates down in Costa Rica in a vacation spot. And he's got his hands involved in a number of things. He's a smart guy, smart business guy. He operates a luxury yacht, also operates a floating, or sorry, I should say they're building out a floating restaurant. He's also working a number of deals with some luxury accommodation space down there. And most of his business, actually almost all of his business, comes from referrals from some of the other high-end hotels and accommodation in the area, some of the other high-end tours. And so that's what his business is built on. He says, you know what, that's great, but he recognizes that having just referral business is not the end all be all strategy. Especially if a lot of that business is referral or word of mouth, that is hard to ramp up because it's really hard to go to your team and just say, hey guys, let's just ramp up the word of mouth today. Like that's not exactly how it works, right? So what we wanted to do was take a look at where can he have control over his business by finding his own clients. Doesn't mean he dismisses the word of mouth. In fact, quite the opposite. We want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to keep that healthy, keep that strong. There are things that you can do to ramp up some of the referrals on the back end, but there's a lot to be said for knowing where to find your clients. Now for him, he's looking for luxury guests. So he's saying, okay, where do I find luxury guests? Is there a way that I can contact them directly and get to them directly? And he didn't really even know to start looking. So what we went through and what we're going through is the 7 spots that we find our guests. Now, what I'll say is our guests are not luxury guests. They're closer to like an upper middle class clientele. And even though they don't necessarily hang out in the exact same spots as luxury guests, the strategies that we use to find them, the places that we use to find them, are the same strategies that you would use to find your luxury clientele or whatever your clientele is. So what I've done in this podcast is I have laid out the 7 areas where we find our guests. And I know that's a big question. It's a big question from a number of my clients that I'm working with, is where do we find these guests? So I've laid it out here for you in this podcast. This is a longer one for sure. So if you make it through this, congratulations. But also if you make it through this, well worth your time because it gives you a very clear indication around how to have control over lead flow when it comes to your guests, knowing exactly where to find them, how to bring them in, and what that process looks like. All right, hope you enjoy this. If you get anything out of it, I'd love to hear a review from you. So just see what your honest feedback is on the podcast and whether you're able to use this as something that's useful information. All right, let's jump into things. Hey, my name is Eric Hatterscheidt, and I'm part of a group of independent tourism operators that you've probably never heard of. We deliver experiences that are beyond a photo shoot. When they're not, we actually have to change our guests' lives. But because we don't have unlimited budgets like the big brands, we have to think differently. We have to be clever with our marketing. We need to reach our audiences to make the impact, but we also need to be profitable right from the start. Unfortunately, traditional education is about 20 years behind, and they aren't teaching us what we need to know. So we've decided to take matters into our own hands. We're sharing marketing tactics that work today because we are experienced masters, and what we do matters. Hey there, so I've put together this audio recording for you so I can explain where we found our ideal guests and hopefully you can learn from what's worked for us as well as learn from some of our mistakes. So I'm going to be covering specifically 7 places that we have found our ideal guests, what's worked for us as far as those booking channels are concerned, and then also what's not worked for us, what we've tried and has failed, so that saves you a bit of time. What you're going to want to do right now is pause this recording and go grab a notebook and a pen so you can actually take notes, or open up your laptop and bring a blank sheet up, whatever that is. Pause this recording now and then come back to it. Okay, are you back? All right, cool. So what we're going to be doing is covering seven key areas. So let's talk really briefly about what those seven areas are, and then I'll go into detail on all of them in a second here. So number one is free social media, how we leverage that into bookings. Number two is paid social media. Obviously paying for ads on social media, what's worked for us, what hasn't. Point number three is partners at three different levels, local, kind of extrapolating out to either provincial or state kind of level, and then international. So that was point number three. Point number four are going to be third-party sites and OTAs. So where's it worth listing and where's not? Point number five is going to be geo-targeting, which I'll go into detail when we get there. Point number six is attracting luxury guests specifically. What are some methods that we use to attract luxury guests? And then point number seven is looking back at traditional mediums. So looking at radio, print, television, that kind of thing. Do those mediums still work? All right, so let's jump into things, guys. Let's cover point number one. First off the bat here, we've got free social media. One of the reasons free social media is my first point is because it is actually one of the most effective for us. And I know that I get a lot of flack from some resorts that don't understand, or they tell me, no, so we try social media doesn't work for us to get bookings. My argument to that is going to be that just means that you don't know how to utilize it. You're using it wrong. So with social media, let's talk about how we find our ideal guests on social media. Primarily, we used to use Facebook. Now we use a combination of Facebook and Instagram. So let's talk specifically about Instagram strategy, because this is really where we are finding our qualified ideal guests. Here's what we do. In order to find that person that we're going after, we have to understand where they are hanging out. Where do they spend their time? What do they enjoy doing? So let's say for our ideal guest, which is typically like an upper middle class guest, we say, okay, what is an upper middle class person? What do they enjoy doing and where are they hanging out? First of all, we know that a lot of our guests come from big city, city centers. Specifically for us, we're looking at city centers in Western Canada and the US. So we're looking at Seattle, Portland, Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, and a few other smaller centers around that. If we know that that's the case, then what we do is we say, okay, if we know a good chunk of our guests are coming from Calgary, for example, and they're upper middle class, where are the hot spots in Calgary where the upper middle class people hang out? Are there golf courses? Are there restaurants? Are there wine shops? And we go and we start researching what are those local businesses in that area. So let's say that there's a local restaurant, a boutique restaurant, high-end restaurant in Calgary. We go and we find that restaurant's Instagram account. And the reason that we're doing this is because we want to see who are the fans of that restaurant. We'll go, we'll check out that account. And what I'm typically looking for is an account that has a low follower count. So usually for us, I'm looking at something, this is just a rough estimate, around 3,000 or less. And the reason I'm saying or less is because if it's less, we know that this account, they haven't gone and they haven't paid somebody to put some kind of bot on their account that brings in a lot of unqualified followers. So typically if it's under 3,000, usually that tells us that the people that are following that account are the true local fans. The people that have actually gone and dined at that restaurant and are interested in what the menu items are, what the specials are, what's coming out. And so what we'll do is we go into those accounts and we start following those followers. So we'll open up, you can go onto that Instagram account, hit followers, and it'll give you a list of every person that's following that restaurant in this case. And we'll just follow all of the people that are in there. We'll also go and we will take a look at some of those people's pictures. We might go and we would comment on those pictures, something that's really authentic that a bot could not replicate. So, hey, I really love like the angle that you captured on this photo with the sunset in the background or whatever. Something that is not just cool picture or a nice pic, because that is something that is typical of a bot and people know it's fake. They know it's inauthentic. Usually we'll try and comment on something that is relevant to us. So if they have a family or something, hey, this is an amazing family shot. We love it. And what that does is it puts us on their radar. So now that person who is probably upper middle class, lives in Calgary, has a family, they take a look at our resort and they'll take a look at our page. Now, part of this equation is having a page that is sticky, what I call sticky. So what that means is they're going to take a look at your account and be like, oh, this is really cool. This is interesting to us. And they follow you. There's a method for that, for creating sticky accounts. Don't worry, we cover that in the last module of this course, which is in social media and how we create those sticky accounts and get those followers and then turn those followers into bookings. But once that person is following us, then what we do is we continue to nurture that sequence. So again, we cover more of this in social media, but to get the bookings, we have a free offer for them right on that account in our bio, something that's going to be attractive to them so that we can get their contact information right away. And from that, then we continue to nurture that by not selling them, but continuing to give them information that's interesting or relevant or entertaining to them. So that's where we're finding qualified followers on free social media. Still one of our best methods. You can use this method regardless of who you are or where you're at. You can use this method. You just have to understand where are your ideal guests hanging out. We've done this for other luxury resorts where what we'll do is we'll find a luxury resort and then we'll find luxury tours around the world, sometimes other luxury resorts as well, and we'll figure out who are their followers. We'll look for small follower accounts. We'll create a sticky account for that luxury resort. And then what we'll do is we will find those qualified followers that are following these other typically smaller boutique destinations, and we put something interesting in front of them. So that's how you find those free people on, in our case, Instagram. So that's point number one, free social media. For us, primarily Instagram, still a little bit Facebook, but that's usually posting to Facebook through the Instagram channel. Point number two, paid social media. So for paid social media, we also still get bookings through primarily Facebook ads, Facebook and Instagram ads. And we're doing less of this primarily also because the ad cost is getting higher, but we still are getting return on investment. In this case, what we do is we're very clear usually about calling out the person that we're looking for. So in order to find your ideal guest, call them out. In our case, yes, we're going after upper middle class families, but we also are very clear on who is the exact decision maker, and you need to be as well. Who's the decision maker that is going to pull the trigger on this vacation or retreat or tour happening? For us, that is almost always the mom. Not always, but almost always. So we're going after the majority here. So what we will do in our Facebook ads is we'll run an ad in a region. So let's just say, again, we know our target audience, part of them are hanging out in Calgary. So what we'll do is we will run ads in Calgary. We don't run ads necessarily in our area. We run ads where our guest is coming from. So we'll run ads in Calgary, and then we call out the person we're looking for. So the first line in the ad is probably going to be something along the lines of, "Hey, Calgary moms," or maybe it's just "Hi, mom," but usually it's the location as well. "Hi, Calgary moms." That's our starting line. And then from there, you can run the rest of the ad. And in the rest of the ad, don't talk about all about your place or your experience. Talk about an experience that they deserve or what they should be looking for. So, "Hey, Calgary moms, we know that you're starting to think about vacations. Wouldn't it be nice if you had a vacation where you could sit and relax and read a book and not have to worry about your kids, and you were surrounded by an environment where the birds were singing and you had fresh mountain water coming out of your tap?" And like, you talk about all these things as the benefits to the consumer. And then at the very end of the ad, then you can state, "That would be amazing, which is why we've crafted that all for you. If you'd like to learn more, click here." And then that takes them to a booking button. We run those ads and we still get a really positive return on investment on those ads. So that's how we utilize paid social media. Let's talk really quickly about social media and things that haven't worked for us. We've tried Pinterest. Didn't really work for us as a medium. We got attention, but we weren't able to easily convert that to bookings. I think the audience was just too broad. Globally. We've tried LinkedIn briefly. We tried Google AdWords is actually another big one that we tried. We tried that for quite a while. We tried Google AdWords for about a year. And after measuring the return on investment for Google AdWords, we turned it off. There might be some resorts or tour companies out there that say it works really well for them.
for us was not worth it. There was just a lot of other marketing opportunities where we put money in and it's clear to see the money coming back out. Not always external either. It could be internal. It could be saying, hey, rather than investing more money into Google AdWords, which really is not getting us any return, clear return, what if we took some of that budget and actually put it into the internal experience, leveraging that? To me, that's a form of marketing, absolutely, as well. So Google AdWords did not work for us. After actually a couple of attempts, so we did it for a year, but we tried it a couple different ways, and it just didn't pan out. Nor does it usually pan out for most of the businesses we consult with. Some of them, kind of, but for most, it's not really worth it, in my opinion. Anything else? Kind of tried Twitter for a bit. Again, just too broad a global audience to really worry about. Could those things work? I think so. I think anything can work if you put enough time and attention into it, but just not the low-hanging fruit for us. So low-hanging fruit for us is Facebook and Instagram, which I'm sure will change as all social media changes over time. But that is our method. And so that evergreen method of going out, finding where your clients are hanging out, that's always going to be relevant as a method. All right, point number three, partners. So there's three different levels of partners that we look at. The first level is the local. So who are the partners that are directly around you geographically? The second is kind of regional. So we're looking at state, province, maybe even at the national level. And then we're looking at at international. So at the local level, who are we partnering with? Often we're looking at maybe restaurants. We have partnered with restaurants in the past. I wouldn't say that's where we've gotten our biggest returns. You might be able to, depending on how last minute you take your bookings. Ours are usually booked far in advance, so the local restaurants don't necessarily help us as much, other than us being able to recommend them. So it's good for them. They usually don't pass much business on to us. Other partners, local partnerships that have been more worth it for us have been other tour companies. So tour companies that are taking their bookings early and then referring us as a point of accommodation. So if you're a tour company, you want to work with resorts. If you're a resort, you want to work with tour companies, and you can cross promote each other. That's been a really good partnership for us. Other partnerships that can be kind of cool are producers of consumable products that your guest would be using. So for example, for us, we've used this a few interesting ways. One that's a little bit out there is, again, looking at where your local, where your guests are hanging out. We've actually partnered with car dealerships. So when someone bought a car, they got a free vacation with us. And that was an incentive to get people to buy more vehicles. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think that added that many or brought many more people into the car dealership, but it did give us exposure. It was kind of good for us. I don't know how worth it was for them. It was just an add-on. Car dealerships are always looking for, hey, what else can we do to incentivize people to buy with us? It might have incentivized more loyalty for them to have those people come back and buy. But when someone bought a car, they got a vacation, and we kind of built that into the package. So the car dealership still paid us for the vacation. And they built that into the package of the car sale. Other ones that we haven't done, but I've seen other people do, are things like let's say you're running a wilderness resort like us, maybe fishing rods, going to a fishing rod producer and saying, we'd like to get a bunch of your rods for our guests to use when they're renting. Potentially getting those rods for free or at a steep discount, so that you're exposing an audience to that rod or that manufacturer. So then the next time that person's looking to actually purchase, that is the rod that comes to mind, or that's the product that comes to mind. I know high-end resorts that have done this with auto manufacturers, partnered with Audi, partnered with Land Rover, partnered with BMW, Mercedes, where the company fleet, or sometimes these destinations will actually have cars that the guests themselves will use independently without a driver. And they have them that just so the guests can use, can test, can understand what it feels like to drive that vehicle. Obviously with the hopes that guest is going to go back to their home country or home destination and purchase that vehicle, or at least walk into the dealership as a result of the experience they had with that car manufacturer. Other partners that we've partnered with, we've actually partnered with, if you look at where your guests are from And there's potential sometimes to go high end with this. So what we've done is we have partnered with in Calgary. So not in your local area, but in the area that your guests are from. So in our case, our guests are from Calgary. We're located about 8 hours from Calgary, so quite a ways. We partnered with a high end retailer of mattresses and infrared spas. So basically like this whole kind of relaxation retail store. And they were willing to give us mattresses for free and infrared spas for free as long as we did a decent job promoting them for our guest group. So yeah, looking at partnerships like that, are there any retailers where if we promote them and that individual goes, like the guest goes back to that city and knows that they can purchase that mattress or that infrared sauna because they experienced it at your place, it's worth potentially looking at. So that's looking at your kind of local partnerships. Let's extrapolate out to the DMCs and DMOs. So DMC stands for Destination Management Company. DMO stands for Destination Management Organization. The C means that they are privately owned and for profit. The O usually means that they are government run and they are non-for-profit. That's not always the case, but that's often the case. Either way, you want to put yourself in the radar for the DMCs and the DMOs, especially the DMCs, especially if you're a tour company, because the DMC is going to be the curator for international traffic to actually promote you to an international audience. And usually that international audience for the DMCs are travel agents around the world. And I don't want you to make the mistake of thinking, some of you think travel agents are dead. That's not the case. Great travel agents, especially if you're looking at the high end, they don't charge their guests. Like as in on the higher end, the person that's using, the guest that's using the travel agent, they don't pay the travel agent anything because the travel agent is making money through you. So when the travel agent books this trip, you owe them a commission, and that commission can be anywhere between, I've seen anywhere between 7% to up to 20%. Which is a pretty big spread. The question is it worth it? Is it worth it to pay commissions out to either, because you'd pay commissions to a DMC as well. I'm going to say, yeah, it's worth it if you have a plan on the back end of how you are going to be retaining that guest, how you're going to be actually bringing that guest back in through a direct booking as opposed to through that travel agent or through that DMC. Yeah, DMCs, DMOs, and then agents was the third part of that, is going directly to the travel agent as opposed to through the DMC. And again, here we're targeting agents that specialize in what it is that we offer. So for instance, we are partnered with a travel agency in Holland, and all they specialize in is Canadian travel. So don't waste a travel agent's time by approaching them if you don't have a product that they're interested in. If you are approaching a luxury travel agent and you don't have a luxury product, you're wasting their time and you're wasting your time. And you're also just giving you a bad name for being so unprepared that you have no idea what you're getting yourself into. So find individuals that are already selling what you've got. And what we'll do is simply go into Google and we'll go to countries around the world and say, Holland travel agent, Germany, Canadian, for us, it should be like Germany, Canadian travel agents. So people that specialize in your destination, and just reach out to them and say, hey, we're here in Canada. We're offering a really authentic Canadian experience. Is this something that you guys are interested in learning more about? And then you can engage with them. Be prepared for all of these channels, the DMCs, maybe not so much the DMO, but the DMCs, the travel agents, be prepared to offer your experience for free because they need to curate it. And that's what the expectation is. Often they're going to be curating that by coming and staying for free. We've had agents come and they've paid and they've told us after they're an agent, and that's great. That's an ideal scenario. However, it's known and it's just part of the process to offer your experiences for free. And so I know some resort managers that are disgruntled by that. I think it's part of business. To me, I'm saying, you know what, give them the free stay, the free experience, because that is not every time, but often it can lead to a lot more business, to bigger accounts happening. Okay, so that was point number three. Point number four, third-party sites that get a return. So third-party sites that you return, these are OTAs like Booking.com, TripAdvisor, VRBO maybe, if you're smaller, Airbnb, and then on higher end, maybe like looking at Virtuoso. Like there's a number, there's a lot more than I just listed there, but there's a number of third-party sites out there. Is it worth it to list on third-party sites in general? Depends on where you're at. So let's talk about a couple scenarios. Third-party sites usually charge a decent commission, anywhere between 5 to 20%. Often looking at that 10 to 20%, that usually is your profit margin. So you're going to say, well, why would I list there if I'm giving away all of my profit? Same thing as with travel agents. You have to have a really good strategy on how you're bringing that guest back. If you're not getting return bookings, then it's really, in my opinion, I don't know if it's worth it. If you have a strong strategy for building up rapport with that audience and getting return bookings, direct bookings, then it makes it worth it. It's saying, all right, I'll give that first one away where we're not really profiting. But on the back end of that, if we can get that guest back multiple times through direct bookings, then it's worth it. So how do you do that? Well, we talk about that a lot, kind of more in module one in branding and internal marketing and having that guest fall in love with you. Here, we're just talking about where we finding our guests. So in this case, any OTA that offers you free listing, I'd say take that. It helps your SEO. Most of them don't offer free, but in our case, we've had a few that have offered free listing just to get their sites up and running. After that, what we've decided for ourselves for a while was, we have not too much trouble booking our high season. So we'll block out that on the calendar. And then what we'll do is we'll just offer our low season bookings. So your tail season bookings, offer that up to the OTA and say, okay, you can fill these out. We personally are at a point now where we don't utilize any OTAs because we don't have to, because we've put together strategically a marketing plan that allows us to book out our season fully without having to leverage or utilize that kind of those third parties. But it still can be worth it. So unless you're able to fully book up with essentially return guests or your own internal marketing lists, then it's probably worth it to list with the OTAs, especially in your off season. By the way, if you're listening to this, there's I've put together a list of all the different OTAs that are out there that you could list with to get exposure. So you'll see that as part of your notes for this module. All right, let's look at point number 5, which is geotargeting. Geotargeting is an interesting one. Not many resorts or tour companies use this, but it can be lucrative if you do it right. So let's talk about what it is. Geotargeting really is, in our case, it's been using Facebook, and you target a very specific region at a very specific point in time because that is where your ideal guest is congregating. So for instance, for us, we've used our resort in the past as a wedding destination. It's very lucrative. There's a lot of headaches that can come with it. So for us, we actually don't do that anymore, just because we got super, super clear on who our ideal audience was, and it wasn't weddings. If you're doing weddings, all the power to you. Fantastic audience to work with. Can be very lucrative, can be great. For us, we just decided not to go with them. But when we were, here's an example of how you can use geotargeting. Let's say that there's a bridal conference going on in any city. And this, the smartest thing to do here would be compile a list of all the bridal conferences that are going on in all the cities that would be close enough to you as a resort or as a destination where people would travel to you to have a wedding at your place. So this might be a little bit more local. You figure out when those conferences, or maybe the conference is not right, the bridal show or expo or whatever is going on. And then what you do is for that weekend, for those 3 days, you can actually create a Facebook ad that targets people in that, basically in that building. You say, hey, I want to like target everyone that's within this radius. And you can pick a point on a map. Like Facebook will give you a map. You pick a point, you create a super tight radius around that point, and you say, I want to show ads to all the people that are in this building over this weekend. That's geotargeting, which can be really great for for exposing or getting exposure to that audience. In my opinion, it's actually probably more worth it to have something like that than it is to actually go to the show, because you could be paying thousands of dollars to go to that show, whereas a Facebook ad, running a Facebook ad to that audience, might only cost you a couple hundred, and it gives you a list of people that you can continue to follow around for the next few months after that, so that you can continue showing ads to them even well after that expo is done. So that's geotargeting. Primarily, we do it through Facebook ads. There are other channels that you can geotarget with. There's other ways of doing it, but for us, that's the most effective and kind of the easiest. All right, point number six, attracting luxury guests. So very similar to what I was talking about with partners, oftentimes luxury guests you're going to find through those partnerships, especially your DMCs and your luxury travel agents. With the DMCs, again, that's probably going to be one of your first steps, is to reach out to a DMC and say, hey, we've got this luxury experience. Why don't you come check it out so that you can help promote us? And they're going to start promoting you to the travel agents that are on a global scale, to their luxury clients. A couple other ways that you can promote to luxury guests. A really good one that I would recommend is, often, you know, higher net worth individuals. Well, not just higher net worth. I'd say any individual typically hangs out with individuals that are in the same socioeconomic situation that they are in, which is a fancy way of saying that people hang out with people that are like them. So if you already have a base of luxury guests, what you can do is you can reach out to those luxury guests that have stayed with you and offer them the opportunity to gift a friend a free gift. Now that free gift is not going to be a sale, and you make that really clear to this person that you're reaching out to. All we want to do is ship them something that's courtesy of our resort. So I've heard of resorts in the past shipping out, let's say, a bottle of wine to another luxury guest. This is kind of like the Instagram method, just at a different level, where you ship out a bottle of wine and you just say, hey, let's just say Josie and Jerry wanted to ship you a bottle of wine courtesy of our resort or our tour company. That's one method. Another one that we are just starting to play around with now is, bottle of wine's a little bit cliche. We have actually started a process where we'll reach out to our guests and say, hey, we've got a mini game that these guys can play. We're not going to sell them on anything. We just want to, we just want you to share an experience with these friends of yours. We walk the current guests, usually the current guest that we've got has already gone through this game, so they know what it's like. And so we give them the opportunity to say, hey, do you want to gift this game to someone else? And we actually will ship, in our case, a little box that has instructions and a couple clues in the box to start that game. It's a family game, and they can play it without coming to us, or there's a point where you can continue the game and it continues for us at the resort. So that's another way of looking at bringing in those luxury guests, is shipping them something physically by having their friends send it to them as a gift. And again, there's no sale, overt sale here. What you're wanting to do is make your current guests look like a hero. Elevate their status, make them look like a hero by sending a gift to their friends. Their friends don't have to know that they didn't pay for it. It's just a matter of getting exposure to you. And if you've got a really good product, a really good service, a really good experience, then it's going to lead to some bookings. Another method that I haven't used, but I think is kind of innovative, I just learned about the other day, was heard about this guy who is a multimillionaire, and he owns a mansion in Costa Rica. He's not there all the time, and so he was looking at, how do I actually rent out this mansion and go beyond what's possible with the OTAs, because there's a booking season there. So what he did is he reached out to different charity auctions, and there's quite a few charity auctions, especially for that luxury market, and he offered up his mansion, his destination, to the charity auctions and said, hey, I'm going to give this as a package to the charity auction. Here's the deal. Whatever you guys get for this, I need this base amount to cover my costs, which is really just his regular booking fee. anything you guys make on top of that, you get to keep for yourselves. So a lot of charity auctions have taken him up on this offer. And so what he's managed to do is book out his mansion. He offers weeks specifically in the off season. So he books it up in the off season from these charity auctions, and he still gets paid for it, and the auction wins, and the person that's coming and staying with him also feels good about the whole thing. So it's kind of a triple win. Not only that, but the person that's now paid for that, it's actually a tax write-off because they paid for it as a donation and not as a vacation, which is a really interesting way of booking out your property. So that's a really cool one. We haven't tried that. We definitely should, though. And if you're listening to this and you're in the luxury market, I would say go do that. It's probably one of the most creative methods I've heard of that I could see being very, very interesting. And the only reason that we haven't tried it is because I literally just heard about it a couple of weeks ago. But it's on our list now to use. Okay. Last, let's talk about some of the traditional media, because everything I've talked about so far has not been traditional media. So let's look at magazines, radio, other forms of print, so newspapers, and then potentially television. So as far as traditional mediums go, my thought process on this is none of these are typically an easy channel to use as far as direct response marketing goes. And so if I'm looking at traditional print like newspapers, magazines, the only way that we've used this, and we have used this in the past, is if we craft stories about our experience, so about our destination, our resort, or if you're a tour company, crafting stories around your tour company that are interesting enough that these publications want to pick them up for free. So is that worth it? I'm going to say yes. I don't know that we've gotten a ton of bookings through a traditional media. We have in the past, but when I say in the past, we got a lot more bookings back when traditional media was the form of media. So getting exposure in travel magazines, for instance, because somebody wrote up a story on us. That's not true. We've paid for print media. We've never gotten a return on any print media we've ever paid for. It's not to say you can't, but we never have. So our method is, why don't we just be more creative with what we're doing so that we create stories. In a sense, we make ourselves talkaboutable. That's a word that we'll use, is how do we become more talkaboutable? We craft those stories, and then what we'll do is we'll take that story angle and we will approach traditional media. So we'll approach magazines, we'll approach newspapers, and we've gotten articles written about us because of that. And for us, that's a lot more worth it, even if we're not making bookings, because then we can still utilize that third-party credibility, which means that we can still list, hey, we've been featured in, and then we list off a number of the publications that we've been covered in. So for us, we've been covered in a number of the traditional publications here in Canada, at least, which lends credibility to who we are and what we're doing. Beyond that, let's take it a little bit further. I have talked to some companies that have utilized radio successfully. That's usually companies that are booking last minute and are tour companies, usually not any kind of destination. But again, we have utilized radio as well, but that's because we have crafted interesting, unique story angles, and the radio has interviewed us, and we've created exposure that way. So that's my take on that, is traditional media, use it as long as you're getting it for free, and use it if you have interesting story angles that people are talking about. To go out and pay for it, in my opinion, is not worth it. Paid media also, I mean, it's expensive. Like, often we're looking at anywhere between $5,000 to $20,000 for ads that run in traditional media. For us, just not worth it in this space. It's much more worth it for us to be featured in those same publications and be interesting. Core reason is people don't go there for the ads. People go there to read the interesting stories. So if you're an interesting story, it's much better positioning than if you are a paid ad and you don't pay anything. So for me, that's the way of leveraging that. Another method that is an extrapolation of the traditional media is looking at, okay, what about the modern forms of media, which are podcasts, blogs, YouTube, all of that stuff. I would actually say that's worth it. That's worth going after the travel bloggers, the family bloggers, in our case, at least anyway, influencers. That's worth looking at. We've leveraged influencers really successfully where we've gained audience, we've gained bookings, we've gained exposure, and we've gained some really good photo and video out of that. So for us, it's worth leveraging influencers. All you have to do is you have to qualify those individuals. So if you're going to work with an influencer, make sure that you've set standards for the number of followers that they have. Have they had any previous experience in selling something and their audience actually taking them up on offers? And do they provide good video and good pictures? And are they good storytellers? That's the other big part of this too, is like, can they tell a good story? Because you can leverage all of that for your own social media, your own bookings, essentially. So, all right, guys, those are my five methods. So first is free social media. Second is paid social media. Third is looking at partners. Fourth is third-party sites. Fifth was geo-targeting. Sixth was specifically just attracting luxury guests, what works there. Seventh was traditional mediums. And then I probably should have put an eighth for the new mediums that are coming out of traditional mediums, which is really utilizing influencers. That's what we've used. That's where we are finding our guests. Hopefully some of that's worked for you. As far as what hasn't worked, I kind of covered that in social media, what hasn't worked. I think really what should we focus on for what hasn't worked? Traditional media or traditional print hasn't worked for us as long as we've paid for it. Influencers, I'd say influencers hasn't worked for us when we haven't actually looked at who they have for an audience. Is it a qualified audience? And is it somebody that is actively interacting with that audience? Are they getting engagement with that audience? And that's easy to tell because all you have to do is look at their posts and see if there's a lot of comments on the post. If there's not a lot of comments on the post, it means that influencer is not getting interaction, and who knows where that audience came from or whether it's even qualified or legit. Okay, that's what I've got for you guys. Your homework from here is to utilize one of these channels and create a campaign around it to go find your qualified guest. It's like fishing in a pond. You got to go find the pond that's got the fish. So where is your ideal guest hanging out? And then how do you reach that individual? Through one of those seven mediums, I'm sure you've got a couple of ideas now. So go put a campaign together to reach your qualified audience. All right. Hope you guys had a great day. Hope this helped you out. And we'll see you guys in the next lesson.